Hello and welcome to episode 67 of the Nerds Assemble podcast. I'm Emily.
I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, aka Cookie.
And I'm Paul, aka Retroid.
Okay, and this week we have news lined up for you, including Microsoft blasted for the Xbox One launch party. I'll get there in a minute. Host KSI. There's a rumor of Telltale. I'm just tongue-tied today, aren't I?
Yeah.
Telltale are developing a Game of Thrones game. And It's a Wonderful Life sequel not going so wonderfully. And then for our feature, we're going to discuss, well, it's inevitable, isn't it? 50th anniversary of Doctor Who.
Yes!
But first, of snippets of news. Obviously, the Xbox One launched last week. None of us have one.
I like the way Cookie was just like, just a couple of seconds after.
And there was inevitably a launch party in London for which Microsoft hired YouTube personality KSI.
Who?
Exactly. Apparently,
unless it should remain so.
Apparently he has lots of subscribers and thus was an appropriate marketing choice for Microsoft at this event.
Maybe he's like a king troll or something.
Did they do their background research for the guy?
It is apparently unclear.
I didn't think so.
Because Microsoft PR seem to be having such a good time with it.
Yeah, they do seem to be able to cock up the smallest of things, don't they?
Retroid, could you explain to less knowledgeable listeners as to who or what
less
a KSI is?
Well, less knowledgeable listeners will probably be people like KSI, but hopefully they won't be listening to us. He is basically a wanker who goes around saying provocative, offensive things to people. And if they react as any normal person would with it, who the hell are you and why are you asking me such a personal thing? That's comedy. And he did this at it'll be the 2011 Eurogamer Expo. He was going around asking girls, why are your tits so small and such comedy gems as that? And he's basically just going, his shtick is going around being a wanker. Sort of a far less impressive Dennis Penis.
Great.
Except with absolutely no comedic talent behind it. And yeah, he got banned from all Eurogamer events ever from that point on, as soon as I found out.
Sounds like a real charmer.
Oh, yeah. If I'd have seen him, I would have dragged him out.
No, I can't remember. What's the name of a guy that... So someone... one of the UK people for videogamer.com did a video last week explaining why this was perhaps a poor choice on Microsoft's part for a host for the UK launch party.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then there was a whole subsequent kind of storm of crap that came out of this video. And apart from the KSI supporters going, why would you say that it was a bad choice? And why would you say it had anything to do with sexism? And all these women were consenting to all this various kind of stuff supporting KSI. And basically, the video's point was it was kind of like a bad... If you think about the image that Microsoft's really going for with the Xbox One, which is not hardcore gamer, yes, hardcore gamers can play this, but oh, look, family's entertainment system! He's perhaps a poor choice of host for your console launch party.
Yeah,
and
a very, very poor choice.
A very, very poor choice. But anyway, there were two versions of this video explaining why all of this as an issue and all the issues and whatnot that were done. First one had to get taken down because KSI filed copyright notices against it because it included clips of his videos in the video.
Yeah.
And then basically they resubmitted the video with basically just text on screen whilst the voiceover continued when there would have originally been bits of KSI video cut into the video.
Oh, yeah.
and that was great. We'll be linking to the video in the comments. I mean, I did know about KSI before this, and this is based purely on the what happened at Eurogamer a few years ago and all the subsequent reporting on that. And yeah. I've obviously actively tried to steer clear of him in any way or form on, you know, Twitter, YouTube or whatever, and have succeeded. Personally, though, as a lady,
and as some, this.
Yeah, and as someone who, okay, I know I've been leaning towards the PS4 more, but you know, I haven't completely and utterly ruled out the Xbox One. It kind of makes me feel like Microsoft, even if they did know his background, wasn't really thinking about people like me, or anyone sane actually, for that matter, when they made this choice.
He's like a young inner city version of Bernard Manning.
Oh, God help us.
Where, except with less comedic talent thinking there, because I think his entire shtick is just to say things to get a rise and, oh, look, they're reacting to me.
It does make me think, though, because, I mean, obviously Xbox Live does have this kind of thing about
it. Oh, with Xbox Live, with... You know, playing stuff like Call of Duty online and, you know, with open lobbies. Yeah, it kind of fits in there.
It sounds like a duller version of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
You said Mina.
Except not as clever.
Yeah.
I think the issue with Beavis and Butthead is that they weren't aware of what they were saying. I think KSI, due to how well he's managed to monetize himself, is very aware of what he's saying.
Mm.
And can I just say... Jesus, capitalism, what the hell's wrong with you that he can monetize it?
Yeah.
I know, I'm kind of worried about the kind of people that she find his stuff funny in the first place that he's managed to get. Like, I think he's got something like 4 million subscribers on YouTube.
Well, yeah. Well, that's great. Is there a big enough island we can buy somewhere? And then just lure them there.
Maybe.
I don't know, call it Booty Shaker Island or something like that. That'll probably get them all there and then just close the borders.
Tahiti is magical.
It's just the people that didn't get why everyone suddenly got offended about KSI being chosen as the host were kind of like the same sort of people who probably didn't understand why the UK limited edition of Dead Island Riptide.
Mm.
The bust that came with that, like why that was offensive, probably the same
zombie
kind of
bait.
Yeah, same kind of people. Probably.
Probably the same kind of people who were complaining when Eurogamer complained about the booth babes that turned up.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, I think I won't socialise with these people.
It's just for God's sake, really.
I mean, it's probably the same group of people that actually, you know, absolutely hate people like Anita Sarkeesian.
That's a good point.
Because, you know, anybody that actually stands up for women.
Or points stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You
know. Coincidentally, I saw a bit about her latest video. Mm. And I won't say anything about it because I've not actually watched it.
I have.
But she said she left... I think it was comments or, you know, voting open for a few minutes, as you know, right after she uploaded it, and it was instantly getting hammered down.
Wow.
As in, within minutes, as in, it's a half hour, it's around about a half hour video, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, and people were just, right, it's up, we can vote, or we can leave comments, right, down, slag it off. So it's
before everyone saying,
there's no way they could have seen any of it, really, by the time, you know, the numbers were going down. And it's like, she's just scared of freedom of speech and debate, otherwise she'd leave all those up. It's like, no, it's because there's instant trolling and instant, you know, downvoting as soon as they can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's those kind of people. Just the mentality is to, you know, go on the attack right away. If they can't have everything exactly as they want it, which is now... where everything's fine, then, you know, everything's wrong.
I'm going to move us on to happier thoughts.
Yeah.
Think happy thoughts, because of the rumour that Telltale could be very well developing a Game of Thrones game.
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes, come on, Telltale, just do it. Just do it. Stop the copyright. Just do it.
Press X to not be decapitated.
Last week,
press Y to fondle your sister.
Last week, they were trying to draw fire away from this room. They're going, no, can't, no, there's, don't know what you're talking about. No, no. Go look, please. There's cats over there. Go look at the cats.
So I'm already looking at the cats. Tell me more about this.
There's Ned Stark over there. Go bother him.
Yeah. You know. Or his head.
Yeah.
Have a bit of a kick around or something. Or it could be put him under surveillance and it could be a stakeout.
Game of Thrones FIFA edition.
Was it IGN were the ones to lead with this, and everyone kind of led on from them, and they were like, oh, it's not confirmed or anything. Nobody's kind of called this a rumour. I want to safely call it a rumour because we can't know for sure.
Yeah, it's not 100% at the moment.
But we can hope, because it would be awesome. Yeah. Telltale, listen to me. Do it now.
I do wonder how exactly they would do the game, because obviously, like, say with The Walking Dead, that obviously was separate from the comics and the TV series insofar as most of the characters used except for certain bits. And then, say, in the case of The Wolf Among Us, the storyline that they've done for that, which is obviously based off the Fables comics, that's, while it's used in the world of Fables, it's not actually a story, I believe, from the main comic series. Or even it's certainly not based off the one graphic novel that's so far come out of it.
Same with their Back to the Future series as well.
Yeah.
They're all separate adventures.
But then it then makes me wonder, well, then how would they tackle Game of Thrones, or indeed just the general world of A Song of Ice and Fire?
It is quite a big world to explore.
There's already a lot of characters.
There's always room for more.
Just add some random dudes who were on this battlefield fighting for one of the sides.
One called Cookie, who rides a dragon. There you go. That'll do me.
One called Retroid, who just goes around saying, oh, that wasn't very good.
They've captured your likeness so well there. But no, it's unknown whether the story will be based on the books or the TV series, because I am aware that there is meant to be like a parting of the storylines kind of somewhere in there, and I admittedly I've only seen the TV series up to season 2 so far,
but
up to the end of season 2 so far, and
thank
I haven't read
HBO
any of the books.
Thank you, HBO, for leaving your bloody disc releases until February the year after.
Have wanted to get it out for Christmas.
Yeah, but apparently not. I researched this when I was like, why the hell isn't the third season of Game of Thrones available on DVD or Blu-ray yet? And it's like, oh, they leave it until February the following year after all this. What?
Yeah. If you've noticed, they always launch it around about 3 weeks before the TV show starts on Sky Atlantic for the new season.
At the same time, and it's the same disc release date over in America as well.
Yeah.
Both sides of the Atlantic are disadvantaged, and it's just like, fuck's sake,
Incidentally, kind of related there, but something odd I noticed. Now, I won't go too far into this, but we recently finished watching Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And there is now a gaping chasm in my life and heart.
Uh-huh.
But I noticed that because I've done a little thing to get the US Netflix.
Oh, right, yeah.
And they only have the first half of season 5 of Breaking Bad.
Really? That's because they've got it actually aired on cable over there.
Yeah, and I think it's because of the DVD and Blu-ray box sets, because there were a hell of a lot of people very angry that they only had up to episode 8 on Netflix. Except we've got the full thing.
That's bizarre.
It was very bizarre to have something in the UK that the US doesn't have on a service like that. But yeah, it's just with box sets and things like that, there's all kinds of deals and things have to lapse and there's conditions that, you know, oh no, it can't be before a certain date because we've got this. And
Do always feel that that sort of thing could be simplified a bit further if they wish to cut down on piracy.
Yeah. Because if you can actually watch the thing you want to watch as soon as you want to watch it and pay for it, then hooray, there's less ripping off going on. Because if it's made convenient, you're just after the convenience, because piracy is not that convenient, really.
No.
Meanwhile, Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Should Game be awesome.
Which is excellent. I'm trying so hard not to say anything about season 3.
I kind of want them to... I'm just trying to think of which stories that I wish they'd done more of in the books. Not that I've read the final book yet, because...
It's amazing.
There may be pictures of it on my head, and perhaps this was due to a vain attempt to try and absorb the contents of the book through sheer willpower rather than actually reading it.
I should try that. No, nothing's coming.
No. But anyway, who do I wish had a greater voice? There's stuff, and I'm not sure if it's because obviously there's like a couple of like tie-in short stories and stuff, isn't there, to like the world that have been published over the years. It may be more interesting if it drew upon that, but I don't know if any of those ever really covered, like, was it the fall of, is it Valyria?
Yes.
Because...
That'd be cool.
That'd be kind of interesting, because that's like, that's that cursed land to the...
Yeah.
Is it east of everything across the sea? And it's like, we don't really know what happened there. It just gets mentioned. And there might have been dragons and magic.
It's basically their version of Ravenholm.
Yes.
We don't go there anymore.
But yeah,
it's all gone a bit wrong and dead.
So I mean, has anybody actually played any of the other Game of Thrones games that have been out?
No, I was going to buy the RPG, but I was warned off it.
I've got it on Steam, but I've not actually played it yet.
I keep seeing Xbox 360 versions of the RPG cheap, new, and being very tempted, and then a memory claws back from something someone said on Twitter. I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't.
But it's supposed to be all right. As in, it's supposed to be good if you like that kind of game. And it's about Blackwatch.
Okay.
Nightwatch. Nightwatch, yeah. Because I get all that sort of bundled up with Babylon 5 and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like, am I saying the right thing? I just can't remember. But... it's supposed to be nice enough, but, you know, there's a but. But with the idea of Telltale, I really think the Walking Dead game has, you know, given them the kudos.
Yes, definitely.
In so many different industries, with, you know, comic creators, you know, book creators, you know, TV, you know, things like that. It's you know, before that point, it's because when I first heard about Walking Dead game, is, you know, Telltale, so, yeah, right, okay. And then I played it. And it was very good.
I think they're not going to be able... They could be known characters from the Game of Thrones universe featured in the game, but I think, unless, like, with Walking Dead, they can't be main... You know, it's just in passing kind of
they
thing.
They seem to be very good at being able to weave things in like that.
Yeah. But saying that, I'd like them to... you've just started this beyond my mission now, Emily, saying about the fall of Valyria. I think it'd be quite cool if they did a bit on the Targaryens when they're in rule. That would be quite interesting.
That would be, yeah. Or set it before the events of the books and the TV series in general.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so to do the rule, maybe do that one more.
We could see the Children of the Forest.
Yes.
Yes, I like this idea. Telltale, hire me.
Dear TV, or let's see, dear Cartoon Network, I've got an idea. How about Stark babies?
What? What?
Well, you're saying, you know, set before the TV series, so you could have Ned as a, you know...
Okay,
you know, yeah. Version of Muppet Babies, except with more beheadings. No?
No, we'll just keep it at Muppet Babies.
Sure, in the case of Ned, it would also be like more wenches as well, whereas, or am I just merely being dismissive of his previous earlier conquests?
He had many conquests.
You can go to the adult channels and, it's like pitch them like stark naked.
There's so much nakedness in the actual TV series.
That's true, actually. And more than nakedness.
Yes. I'm going to move us on now to It's a Wonderful Life, because just for context, people, the night we're recording this is a month before Christmas. Think about that, and don't try to freak out too much, and just
just get some eggnog and some brisky. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Put your feet up on a burning log.
Yeah. my feet are on fire.
Get served you right for all the eggnog.
And get ready for the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Last week, rumours circulated that Saul was going to make a sequel to It's a Wonderful Life. And I was just suitably horrified, imagining in my head somebody speaking enthusiastically in that voice in a sequel of the film. And I was just like, no, this thing can't happen. And then thankfully, Paramount had been like, this thing ain't happening because these buggers don't have the blooming IP rights. They ain't asked us. Which I'm sure Paramount don't actually talk in at all, that kind of voice. But at the same time, the people were like, who were like putting this together, was it one of the producers called, is it Bob Farnsworth? Mm-hmm. Farnsworth.
A distant relative of Hubert.
It was like, oh no, I'm sure we could come to some kind of amicable agreement. This is on Variety as well, so it's just like, aha, right, okay guys, you don't have the rights, but no, we'll have the rights, but you don't have the rights, guys.
It's alright, we will name it too, It's a Sucky Life.
The scary part was that they were actually looking like they've got deals with like all the original actors from the original film that are still alive.
Really?
Yeah, to sort of like to sort of do cameos and stuff, and like it basically be the film would be about, I think, obviously not necessarily them, but perhaps like their children or their grandchildren. And it's just like, oh, and then why do we need to revisit? There's things that you can make sequels to. It's a Wonderful Life. It's one of those Christmas films that's very self-contained. I can just about understand why Disney did all those stupid sequels they did to the Santa Claus. Well, the one with, what's his face from Home Improvement?
Allen.
Yeah, Tim Allen in. I can just about understand all the sequels to that. What other Christmas film sequels can I
Home
understand?
Home Alone.
Yeah, I can understand all those sequels to Home clearly, bad parenting can take a while to address. The sequels make sense.
Scrooged 2, The Scroogener.
The Scroogening.
Scroogenator.
Obviously, it made sense for there to be two Die Hard films for a while. That made sense.
Die Hard 3 was pretty
good. And then they should have just stopped.
Yeah.
Die Hard 3 was all right with Samuel L. Jackson.
I don't think what other Christmas Lethal Weapon, should there have been more than one Lethal Weapon?
I don't think there should have been an original Lethal Weapon, not with Mel Gibson.
Yeah, there should have been. There shouldn't have been a Lethal Weapon 4.
I'm just trying to think other Christmassy films with sequels.
See, Muppet Christmas Carol should have a sequel.
See, I'm not that big into, Christmas films.
I just seem to get abused by them each Christmas if I go over to a relative's
house. You get abused by Christmas films?
Yeah.
Do you?
I think that's the right term, because my mother's into Christmas films. And Christ.
You won't like what I downloaded the other day on Sky, then.
Oh, dear.
Muppet Christmas Carol. Yay!
Now, you see, that's Muppet.
That's okay.
So, yeah. I'd be okay, but... my mother gets all those, there's a young mum and she's broke at Christmas and everything goes wrong and it's all going to be a terrible thing for her, her little nymph of a, son or, daughter. But the community comes together and makes it the best family Christmas ever. And I'm vomiting in a bucket around the corner.
I think what Christmas films tend to suffer from the most are perhaps remakes.
Mm,
like, definitely. How many versions of... Christmas Carol, obviously.
There are quite a lot of Christmas films that suffer from makes.
Yeah.
Don't know about remakes.
Mm, but Miracle on 34th Street, that's obviously... Yeah. There's two versions that... And I swear I heard either earlier this year... Or like last year, around this time last year, they were like, "Oh, we're going to remake A Miracle on 34th Street again."
No. It's that old piss off. Just leave it alone.
You know, so there's the. I think Christmas films tend to suffer from the remake issue more. And I have a feeling that what was the one with Dudley Moore as an elf?
Santa Claus the movie.
Yeah, Santa Claus. I get the feeling there was talk of remaking that, but it was no talk about sequels.
No. You do not touch that. Leave it alone.
Whoa. It says something when, you know, Cookie's the one saying that rather than Retroid.
What are you trying to say?
So my question then becomes, is a sequel a lesser evil than a remake of a Christmas film?
Doing an original idea? I mean, it's Christmas, you know, a time of year that kind of comes around like once a year. And we're constantly, you know, kind of bombarded with, you know, kind of stuff from the past. I mean, decorations, you know, kind of the nativity scene, you know, everything's so fucking annual. You know what I mean? Everything kind of continues over and over and over each year.
I'm sorry, I just
want something original. I want something original this Christmas.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think we're suffering from the issue that is human civilization.
They're even doing a new version of Open All Hours now, aren't they?
God.
No.
David Jason is grandpa.
No.
Running his store. I know who died of Family Guy the other day, even though I haven't seen the episode. Same. Let's just bring it all up. Let's just get all the baddies out of the way.
The dog.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That's a show that won't be watching anymore.
It's just like...
The only likeable character on there.
Pretty much.
I mean, it's like, I like Seth Green, but Chris? No.
Yeah, apart from... Well, let's see, Seth Green. I liked him in Buffy, and he's good in Mass Effect.
Hmm. He's also good in Robot Chicken.
Yes.
And Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, yeah.
Do you know what? Christmas film. An Austin Powers Christmas film. It would be so groovy. So groovy. That's what needs to happen.
Christmas would take away from it.
No, it'll be for Austin to find a way.
It's Christmas, baby, yeah!
Oh, that was
I think it would be a turkey, yeah! Yeah, I hate myself.
Okay, I'm going to be pursued to my main feature for the sake of sanity.
Yeah,
I think.
I'm
questioning this now because, you know, there's laughing going on. Maybe I should. So, the 50th anniversary episode of the Doctor Who happens on Saturday.
Not according to Retroid.
apparently today was awarded the Guinness Book of Records, World Records for the largest simulcast.
Of a drama
ever. Had over 10 million viewers in the UK. Didn't beat Strictly Come Dancing.
Which is...
I blame the Nanas for that.
I thought it did.
No, they got...
I'd beat Strictly
They beat
Come
X Factor, but they didn't beat Strictly.
Is that inclusive of cinema viewings as well?
I believe so.
Seriously?
Might have been. Yeah.
There were more people watching Strictly on TV than there were...
It was over 11 million people watching Doctor Who.
Oh, it was over 10. It wasn't over 11.
No, it's been updated now.
It's 11. Been updated now.
Yes,
they actually
been 11.
Are they pulling ahead?
I'm assuming so.
I hope so.
I can't see there are many more people watching. It can't have been 12 million people watching Strictly Come Dancing. What the hell?
It was 11.6 or something like that.
Yeah.
What, on Strictly Come Dancing?
Something despairing.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, it was. Cookie, it was. Like I said, the Nanas of the country.
No.
Really? Yeah.
Oh my.
Yeah. They beat X Factor, both of them. So.
Okay. Again, I'd beat X Factor with a big stick.
It was the X Factor's 10th anniversary as well, wasn't it?
Something stupid like that, yeah.
That's about 11 too many. That's including the year it took to think of it.
Oh, if you had a time machine. Or a TARDIS.
Yeah. Yep.
Or three. 13,
maybe? So it was called The Day of the Doctor.
Yes.
Stuff happened. Lots amazing of stuff.
As it often does.
I think, first off, because I don't necessarily have lots to say on it at length, as people, regular listeners of this podcast will know, and friends, that I don't tend to love Doctor Who much. I have a very love-hate relationship, more towards the hate. It's very few episodes that I actually enjoy watching. And I actually enjoyed watching The Day of the Doctor.
Yay! You'll make a convert of you yet.
It's a long, hard road to that. But anyway, I've got that out of the way. I think we need to let Cookie speak.
Because no, you don't have to let me speak.
I think we do.
Yeah, I think everybody knows what I thought of it. Because yeah. They know what I'm like. I loved it. Every bloody minute of it.
I liked it, but I felt like they missed something. Like, what happened after, you know, basically they're trying to broker the peace. Or what happened to Elizabeth I?
Yeah, we did give... yes, spoilers will be discussed. I'm hoping you would have assumed that by this point. Before we get too in-depth. Sorry, guys. So,
frankly, if you're into Doctor Who, you'll have seen it by now.
Yeah.
Yes. I think they didn't cover that as nicely as they could have done. I do think, if I'm being brutally honest, John Hurt was underused.
Yes.
Really?
Used him more. Yeah, I do. I think John Hurt was... I would love them to do a War Doctor series now, after seeing John Hurt as a Doctor. That would be awesome.
That was part of my issue with it. But
and I think...
Carry on.
As they managed to make a cameo for Tom Baker, who I love, he is one of my favourite Doctors, they could have made similar cameos for the other Doctors throughout the whole thing.
Yeah, I didn't understand that, because Colin Baker... Tom Baker. Not Colin Baker. Mm. Tom Baker. He was obviously kind of, you know, old.
Yes.
And it's like, so what happened... it couldn't have been him as the Doctor... because he died before he got that old, didn't he?
You didn't listen to the speech very well, did you?
No, I didn't, to be honest. I've only said it once, so yeah.
In his speech, he actually, when Matt Swift said, I always remember a face, Tom Baker actually turned and said, well, perhaps you'll be revisiting some of your favourites, and then touched his nose.
He means UK Gold.
So perhaps, I don't know, perhaps they'll have a way around it. Or it could be an alternate universe Doctor, I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's Moffat.
Due to the
fact that there's, 13 Doctors now confirmed, basically, yeah. Which was, exceeds
the 12 Doctors.
Yeah, and so I was reading a thing, like you do, on Digital Spy, where Moffat had left some interview comments or something, and... he was like trying to be drawn out on the whole, oh, it looks like, you know, how are you going to get around this whole, you know, how many lives thing? And he didn't really give an answer. It was just, I couldn't understand what the hell he was saying. It was a bit garbled.
Apparently, we'll find out in the Christmas special.
Yeah, but meanwhile, somebody pointed out, some Whovian of a fan, in the comments of this article, pointed out that apparently there was like something passed during the Time War, which meant that the Council of Gallifrey, or whatever, could, you know, they could just pass a thing that meant that the whole limit on lives was kind of like a
time lock.
Yeah,
stuff on it. So.
Yeah, I heard that something like the 13 or 12 regenerations wasn't. It was a law rather than a rule, if you know what I mean. And during the Time War, they pretty much said, you know, we are in dire straits. Right, you know, you've all been reset.
Hmm. Which should make sense. Other than that, though, I did actually really enjoy it. And I do like the fact that there was little touches like the Tom Baker scarf around the woman with the Yasmin Haler.
Hmm.
The scientist, I think she was. I think she was meant to be a scientist.
Scientist.
And you could tell she was a scientist because she was wearing glasses and had asthma.
I don't jump to assumptions like that.
To be fair, I'm pretty sure during the dialogue that she said that she was...
No, she is a scientist. Yeah. But I also like little bits like all the doctors got credited for playing the doctor as well at the end.
Which is quite interesting because I've heard stuff about like the other five doctors that weren't in it that are still alive. And they were quite, murked that they weren't asked to partake in the 50th.
I think Paul McCann was all right because he got his own little webisode, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he got to pass over. Christopher Eccleston basically refused. And I'm not sure what happened to the other three, but I mean, it was quite nice how they built those into the end bit with on the monitors and stuff, and you saw all of them, like Patrick Chow and that. That was quite a nice touch as well.
I like the fact that they did it, but I can't understand, basically, because obviously they must have sent a signal to, each one of the TARDISes.
Yeah.
And so it's like, so you sent the signal, and every single one of them decided to help out. And it's like, really?
Yeah, he's that kind of guy.
maybe it's just me because obviously they were irked by Matt Smith kind of went with David Tennant. They're a bit irked at the beginning that it's two doctors in the same place. Hey, what are you doing here? Type thing. This shouldn't be happening. So to kind of send out...
They have done it before, where they've done it very sparingly, haven't they? They had the five doctors, they had the two doctors, and they had the original three doctors as well. So it's a sort of a case of you're not supposed to cross the time streams unless the emergency is dire enough to warrant it, and then you can.
I mean, I do like the fact that now his mission's changed, which is to find Gallifrey.
I love that fact.
Yeah.
I really liked how they turned it around like that, because I've liked him being, full of remorse and I've killed Gallifrey and all this, but to me it was getting a bit old hat. And for me, some of the best storylines in Doctor Who over the last 50 years have been one of the ones where he's had a proper goal. I don't know if Retroid will agree with me, but like the Time to Key series of Tom Baker, E-Space series with Adric trying to get out of E-Space. I've always really enjoyed those sort of stories that you've got your little mini adventures, but you've got a proper goal at the end of it as well.
Yeah,
I always prefer a nice story arc because you can have individual stories, yes, but if something's going on, and unless you count things like Bad Wolf and whatever, it's like I don't really count those because they were pretty much just standalone, and then someone says, Bad Wolf Street, what's this then?
Yeah.
Ooh, ominous.
Yeah, they're more like themes than goals.
They seem to layer the foundations for the big finale, so to speak, didn't they? But now he's got a proper direction for it. And it'll be interesting to see how they do it. And it'll be interesting to see how Peter Capaldi takes it on.
Yeah, I mean, that last bit where, all of the doctors are kind of standing there, kind of staring off in the distance, I did find that incredibly cheesy.
Oh, there were quite a few cheesy moments.
Yeah.
It was... I was kind of annoyed, going back to the female scientist, I was a bit annoyed by her. Just because she kind of fit stereotypes a little too well.
Yeah, and it's like, I being a geek, I've got asthma, all that kind of thing. So it was just, if you're going to have, someone who's geeky or smart, give them glasses and, have them.
They could have had, I'm not saying they could have had Martha, but they could have had a Martha-like figure.
Yeah.
And it would have been fine.
I just realised, because when the scientist was duplicated, they managed to duplicate her glasses, but they didn't duplicate
the
inhaler.
But not her inhaler. Yeah.
I wonder whether that's, explained during the lore somewhere that they can't, replicate gases or something, maybe.
No, I think that was just because.
Because. Continuity.
Uh-huh. Was anyone else a bit annoyed that we didn't quite find out whether or not, the peace agreement, how the terms of that, what they were?
Yeah, it's a shame.
It was just kind of like, oh, let's have a secondary plot here, and let's leave it here, lying in the dust. Because there was a lot of dust.
Let's have something. Yeah, we've had something now. It's done the thing with the something, and we can just go home.
See, for me, I really enjoyed it, like I said. I'm really glad as well that they used the Zygons rather than... I know he had the Daleks in it a little bit, but I'm glad it wasn't all about the Daleks or Cybermen. It was nice to see a different monster taking centre stage for a big show like this.
Yeah.
That was nice, and especially the Zygons, because I haven't actually seen them since Tom Baker.
It's been a little while, hasn't it?
Just a little bit, bless them. And they didn't. And they still never said whether they got the Loch Ness Monster anymore. That was a shame. But I thought it was a great piece of TV, but it did feel like they'd tried to cram too much into the time they'd given.
Yeah, because I said to Paul,
a bit longer.
Well, I said to Paul, why didn't they go for an hour and a half rather than an hour? Was it 15?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 75 minutes, and the 5 minutes of that was just them standing around with TARDISes.
Yes.
At the end. Look, we've got more than one.
Sorry, no, my TARDIS is bluer than yours.
Significantly, yeah.
I really liked the way they were trying to portray the relationship between David Tennant's Doctor and Queen Elizabeth. That was kind of cool.
Hmm.
I like that. Thought that was nice.
I have to say, I was actually slightly disappointed that they obviously brought in Billy Piper, but they didn't kind of bring in the alternate universe with,
I was rather relieved about that.
Really?
I found it quite nice that they used her as the conscience of the weapon. Mm. That was pretty cool, I thought.
Yeah, I liked that. Because I just thought, Rose, again? God.
And it would have opened up more questions anyway, because they did seal off the alternate universe totally before, didn't they?
That's the theory.
That's the theory.
But, the theory.
Oh, another thing I don't quite understand about using the TARDISes to basically just make Gallifrey go poof and, where they sent it.
From what I got with that, with the whole Gallifreyan art, is a moment frozen in time.
Mm.
Yep. They needed all the TARDISes so they could capture that particular view of the world. So combined, they had a 360 degree picture of Gallifrey that would be frozen in that moment.
Okay.
That's what I took.
But why is it somewhere else?
Because it's been
because reasons.
Yeah.
Mind you, it changes how much of do the events of this episode retcon a few things, like, because
again,
which was the, is it special that they had, was it the council came back with the whole thing with Timothy Dalton?
Yeah.
Because it was a different, I think the way they're going through it was the time streams went back to as they were, so it actually happened as it should have done, but in the future. So, like, David Tennant won't remember any of this, nor will John Hurt.
I got that.
Yeah.
But what I gather from that is all the events that preceded it did go through.
Mm.
And perhaps that council, because it was a different the High Council member. So I'm just wondering, what I thought of it was perhaps it was his way of trying to actually escape the... being stuck in that frozen moment of time.
Perhaps that could be it.
Hmm.
Maybe. I mean, it's... Yeah.
It's just the reason I point that one out the most is because that wasn't... was that a regular episode? It was one that was much eight.
That was one of the special.
Yeah, it was one of the specials, so yeah, that's why...
David Tennant's final episode.
No, it's like, if Gallifrey hadn't have been, like, involved in, like, doing that, would... David Tennant's Doctor actually be dead?
Mm. See, questions.
Sort of fractures in the time-space continuum.
It's yet another bloody semi-reset switch thing. That Moffat seems to be almost as fond of as Russell T. Davis.
Oh, there we go. We're only assuming that it's going to be some sort of kind of soft reset type thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I think not blowing up a Gallifrey and instead sending it off to somewhere and having doctors not be able to remember what happened is a little bit of a reset switch.
It is a bit of a reset switch, but I could see why he's done it to a degree, because it's going to be able to take the show in a new direction, which is fair play.
Yeah, I mean, in
I'm
the
end... I'm actually quite excited by it, because, I mean, does that mean that the Master's out there somewhere still?
I think the Doctor gets turned Scottish by the trauma.
And the other nice thing I was thinking about, and maybe Retroid will agree with me this, it'd be nice to actually see, perhaps we'll see Romana return as well.
That would be ace.
Because that would be a new version of Romana, that would be quality.
Who's that?
Someone who's more than is, you know, more than a match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would like that. Instead of a grinning, smirking companion.
Doctor, you're so ace.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the companions who fall for the Doctor.
That's why you loved Rory.
I've got a special place in my heart for Rory.
Oh man, BuzzFeed released last week a which companion are you quiz. And I got Rose. I think it's because of the amount of times that I chose beer-related activities.
Did you say beer?
Yeah, beer. There was at least two things that related to beer, like drink choice at one point, and then what would be an ideal night out? And well, they had various things, and there were two things that I was like, oh, night in with people, or beer and bowling. And I was like, well, actually, if I had the option to actually go beer and bowling, it'd be beer and bowling. And there was I think it was the beer. Okay, Jamie Tools Rose.
Yeah, I got Rory, so...
That's all right. Could have been worse. Did they have the classic companions in it, or just...
Sure.
I don't think they did.
But mind you, there were a lot of choices per question. I'm still not entirely sure why I got Rose.
I had a bit of a talk about this on Facebook today, because I got Rose... And I just asked, who can I complain to about this? Because I never liked Rose. And I just said, well, at least it wasn't Donna. Awesome. And a few people were popping up that were previously my friends, who were saying, but Donna was ace. And you say, I'm sorry, are you from the alternate universe with Ricky? Where... Is that, what? Is it, no.
No, Donna was cool. Dr. Donna.
No. Well, okay, I'll say, you know, right. Donna, the character, might have been okay, but with it being played by Catherine Tate, who I have a special burning hatred for, it's just no.
Is there any particular reason why you hate Catherine Tate rather than just the characters that she generally tends to portray?
She can't act. She's not funny, and just all her mannerisms and her voice annoy me to hell. It's probably my fault that, you know, I don't like Donna, you know, because of, you know, Catherine Tate, but I just do not like Catherine Tate. I just, no.
See, I had that reaction when you know, she was first announced as, you know, the assistant.
Oh yeah, I'm not just built as the episodes went on. My favourite episode with Donna in was the one on the train where she wasn't really in it.
Ah, right.
And that isn't the specific reason, but it helped.
So out of all the companions, who's your favourite? Old as well. Just new.
Now, I can't remember her name.
Oh.
But
she's your favourite.
Doctor Who. Yeah, but this is going back a good few years now.
Which Doctor was it?
It was Tom Baker.
Leela?
No.
Sarah Jane Smith?
No.
Romana?
No, she was the daughter of the Keeper of Traken.
Oh, Nyssa.
Yeah, that was it. Nyssa.
Oh my god, did I just really get... Oh, bloody hell. That's just showed how much I know, I suppose. Yeah, Nyssa was cool. The scientist.
Yes, and that was one of the reasons I liked her, because she was an alien, and while all the other companions were going, where the hell are we? Oh, everyone's green. She was going, oh, yeah, in here.
She had a bit of fire to her as well. She'd argue with the Doctor, wouldn't she? Especially when he became Peter Davison.
Yeah, because I quite liked her because she was this, you know, she was a proper character. She wasn't a companion. As in, you know, he wasn't the, I will show you the, you know, the galaxy.
Yeah.
She'd already, you know, seen quite a bit of it or knew about it.
Which is pretty cool. I mean, mine would have been, I like Nyssa, but I've always had a soft spot for Ace. Just because I think she likes blowing crap up and disobeying the Doctor and just...
Again, I think one of the main problems I've got with Ace is that I like her character as a concept, but it's just at that particular time of the series, the Beeb were running it into the ground.
They were, yeah.
So I kind of associate it. It's like I quite like, in some ways, Sylvester McCoy, but he got lumbered with the awful stories and production values.
Until the final season that you did, like, with Curse of Fenric. That was a really good one.
Yeah, and it's like they tried with that. They were really trying, but it's the Beeb by that point, they were just desperately wanting to...
Yeah, you bring this up reminds me of a comment that a friend of mine made on Facebook the other day, before the special aired, which was like, it's great that the BBC's, you know, celebrating 50 years of Doctor Who, 16 of which it was off the air...
Yeah.
You know, it's the kind of bitterness.
That's a tiny
in that.
Detail, really, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
It's like, it's not really 50 years old, because there was that rather long break.
Well, I mean, it was a break off telly, but they still did a lot off the telly, like Big Finish Audios and stuff that carried it on.
It's not
the
just
original
that.
Audio players.
It's not just that, but I mean, I think series are measured by how long ago they were beginning rather than if they're still going. I mean, Star Trek is another example of one where it had like a 25 and 30 year anniversary.
And all
and
the self-congratulating and the back-slapping and everything, did anyone hear the BBC apologise for what they did to the series before the reboot in the last 10 years? I didn't hear or see any apologies as to what happened. None at all.
To be honest, I think there are still parts of the Beeb who are a bit, well, it makes money, but we don't really class it as a real thing.
We'd rather not have it.
Yeah, there's a certain sense of snobbiness against it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry,
I think certain sections of it see it as like it's part of the Saturday night lineup.
Meanwhile, I'm perhaps looking forward to the Christmas special a bit. That's one of these things. It's Christmas specials are one of those things that I tend not to get on with even more with Doctor Who. I've been disappointed with the last
few. Because they tend to be really, really bad.
That would probably be why. But I'm hopeful, you know. Is it Trenzalore?
Trenzalore with the silence, yes.
I just think...
Because we never really did find out what the silence really was, did we?
No.
We didn't actually find out who was behind
I'm
the silence.
I'm presuming they're violent.
The violent silence?
Yes.
Is silence that just because it kind of rhymes?
Yeah.
Silent but deadly.
It was also what we called terrible farts at school.
Oh dear.
Silent but violent. But yeah, there's a lot that's left unanswered in Doctor Who, and part of that is its nature, because it's just, yeah, let's just throw stuff out there and, you know, as I get out.
And keep it as a mystery.
Yeah, but... This particular special, this anniversary special, I just thought, you know, with you saying it was, you know, they tried to do too much. In a way, they tried to do too much, and what they actually had in it as the, you know, the main backbone, there just wasn't enough. They didn't do enough with the three Doctors. They didn't do enough with John Hurt.
They didn't. John Hurt was underused. I really did enjoy it, don't get me wrong, but I think they could have utilised John Hurt a lot better, because he did bring... He brought for me, David Tennant and Matt Smith are quite young, energetic doctors, but most of the time the doctor has been quite wise and old in his ways, and I think John Hurt managed to encapsulate that, you know, a lot. Yeah. I liked how you talked to him as well. Are you still talking like babies now, are you, or stuff like that? You know, that was quite amusing.
I did like the way he was pulling them up.
Yeah, that was cool. You know, and you did see flashes of Hartnell and Patrick Troughton coming through him as well, I thought, which was cool.
Yeah, you know what it is? I was just thinking there.
You know, so.
I'd watched the drama TV film that Mark Gatiss wrote about the birth of Doctor Who,
which was actually really good as well. I really enjoyed that as well, I have to say.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be brilliant because it's a they made a film of how it started. Yeah, yeah. Okay. Sat down and watched it, and it was bloody good.
Really good, I thought.
Oh. I think in a lot of ways that tickled my Doctor Who anniversary itch far better than this special did.
I saw recorded it, so I watched it afterwards as well, just to complete the night.
we had to go and look after my youngest brother straight after the special had finished because my other brother had gone into the local cinema to watch it and needed a lift. And I was just kind of like, right, watch the special, quick, get shoes on, run around the block, get to the house, look after the youngest. He was asleep, but I was just like, okay. And then what was funny was the conversation that erupted after everyone returned, because it turned out that his school, the youngest's school, had been doing this whole thing about sci-fi and Doctor Who lately.
Oh, cool.
You say cool, but my parents have actually been quite frustrated by it because my youngest brother doesn't watch much science fiction. And it's just kind of like the teachers just assuming that all the kids would watch things like Doctor Who and that. And then as we pointed out, actually a lot of the TV series, technically for Doctor Who, like the new stuff, most of the seasons and the specials, but bar two, everything's 12. My brother's 9.
Yeah.
And my parents do tend to stick by age ratings for things. And so it was just kind of like, well, he doesn't watch Doctor Who because it's not age appropriate for him. And it's just this kind of thing of like, oh, but kids obviously watch Doctor Who. And then those questions of, well, he must have seen Star Wars. And it's like, no, he hasn't seen any of the Star Wars. We have now persuaded my parents, but at least my dad, that you might as well let the kid watch the original films because they're all PG.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So do that.
You shouldn't be allowed to watch the prequels ever because they should never have been made.
Yeah, no one should ever be allowed to watch them.
Take them off straight away. But the originals, yeah.
I have to say, you know, Cookie, what prequels?
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. I wish I could not remember them so well, but there was that whole, fashion show fancy dress incident where I was dressed as Jar Jar Binks with flappy ears. So it's really hard for me to not remember the existence of those films. It's really hard.
Is it Jar Jar Binks?
Because the people want to see a suicide, just take it.
Actually, that probably would have worked really well because it was like a full face mask. That would have worked really well. But go back to Who. I actually enjoyed it. And I think it was the lack of telling us what happened with the peace brokering and the lady scientist that kind of let me down a bit. Because it was just kind of like, oh, really? I mean, she could have had the scarf and still not had to wear glasses.
Yeah, definitely. You
know? Didn't have to.
Yeah, I just didn't get why her character existed quite as she did.
In fact, she didn't.
I think the scarf was a nod to Tom Baker, wasn't it? So.
Yeah.
Her role wasn't that important in the end.
No.
Which is the crazy thing. It was like, which is kind of sad because they drew so much attention to her, but she didn't have much going on.
There was far too much throwaway.
Yeah, because that's time. The time they spent with her running around in the art gallery, that's time they could have spent with main characters more. You know, it was exposition that led nowhere.
Yeah. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, I loved it, but I do think there wasn't enough time for it all. They just tried to cram too much in. Maybe I'm just being greedy. I wanted more. I wanted it to be fleshed out a bit more. I wanted more John Hurt. Definitely.
Yeah, with all the big fuss about it, he didn't actually get that much screen time.
No.
Maybe they couldn't afford him for that much.
I thought he got quite a bit of screen time.
He did get quite a bit, but not as... It's a shame because it's a doctor I would really like to see develop more, if that makes sense. He could turn out to be a really good doctor. And I think he did in that episode, to be fair. And it's just a shame that we'll probably only ever... A bit like Paul McGann, he's left to the one episode and never really allowed to...
Yeah. I think it is purely financial. Seriously, yeah. If you consider how much it would cost to employ her over getting Capaldi in, I think it's purely money.
Definitely, but one-off specials now and again.
I don't know.
Yeah, a few TV movies.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, that would be cool.
I have to admit, the Captain Jack's teleport thing was quite cool.
Because I was wondering when that was going to pop up again, because I was like, that thing's never been destroyed. I've been wondering for ages. When's that watch get... Well, I like to call it a watch. When's that going to turn up somewhere? I felt that UNIT had it and had it for all this time. Just kind of amused me.
But they just didn't know the code.
Yeah. And then just the whole thing in the tower. Well, that was one thing. The episode did feel like... I mean, I know we've got the whole timey-wimey excuse for stuff, but they were perhaps playing loose and fancy-free with who lore on time travel. Just a tad.
Oh, they've never done that.
Yeah. It was just... Yeah. I'm not going to think about it too much because...
It was definitely entertaining, though. And it was definitely worth... It was definitely a good... It felt like a main event.
I mean, just a question, right? Because in the end, what was it, those red things?
Zygons.
Zygons, yeah. They came to Earth because their home world was destroyed.
In the first days of the Time War, yeah.
In the first days of the Time War.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that because of the kind of detonation of the... bomb that would have been basically blown up.
No, from what I can gather with the time war, it didn't just stay on Gallifrey and Skaro.
Yeah,
encompassed the worlds around it as well.
Yeah,
and Gallifrey was one of the first last to stand.
Right. Okay. That's fair enough then. It's right. I didn't know whether it kind of retconned itself.
No, not that I'm aware of.
Okay, cool.
I mean that's. I mean, the problem with the Time War is, though, it's never really been fully... The events have never really been fully divulged. There's just been snippets in, obviously in the TV series, but also in Big Finish Audio. Nothing's really been concrete about it. So,
because obviously the whole timey-wimey thing...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is Matt Smith's Doctor also... His memory going to be retconned?
No, because it was in his... Now,
okay,
he will be the only doctor to actually remember it because that was at that moment in time of his actual live stream,
okay,
which the others basically got pulled into.
Okay, and do we actually know what created the kind of the portally rift thing in the first place?
Yeah, the conscience, the conscience,
yeah, of course, okay.
I would say a lot of it is, just because as well.
Yeah.
I think Emily's doing the royal wave, so I'm presuming that's it for
today. It's not the royal wave, but I do feel that we have perhaps run out of time, dear gentlemen.
Okie dokie. But it was Ace.
It was Ace. Time, gentlemen, please.
So bad.
I just love the fact that... Oh, which part of it? Well, somebody said, so are you sitting comfortably at one point? I was like, oh, that's what we always write on the blog. You know, for just before the links. So that made me smile for a moment. But yes, I'm afraid that is all we've got time for this week. So it's goodbye from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter.
And it's good night from me, Paul, aka one-armed underscore Cookie. You can find me on thegamejar.com.
I think Cookie was out of sync there. It's good night from me, Paul Blewett, and I'm on Twitter as Paul Blewett.
And it's good night from me, Emily King. You can find me on Twitter at EK6891. For those of you who may or may not be wondering how my NaNoWriMo is going, I think I'm going to do it. I think I'm going to get there before the deadline at the end of Saturday. I think I'm going to get there. Just over 41,000 words at the moment, at the 50.
So, who's proofreading that?
I haven't decided yet. It doesn't have to be proofread for the submission. It just has to be words that might make sense for the submission to get validated. But anyway, you can find Nerd Assemble over at www.nerdassemble.co.uk. We're also available on iTunes. And I leave a review or a comment sometime if you want. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds Podcast. Plus, we're on Facebook and Google Plus as Nerds Assemble Podcast. And don't forget to visit hexdimension.com, where our first Hex Play video went up this week.
Yeah, the first proper one. Well, and you can watch Emily failing at second sight.
I didn't die.
Oh, that's true. You weren't failing in the sense of, you know, you actually failing. You're more failing in the sense of, what do I do now?
Yeah.
Which would be more of a flail.
Yes, yeah. It's Emily flailing.
Lots of flailing. But that is all. That is all. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.